banging heads.
Oh dear. Are you all right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Welcome back to the programme. 4001 is our text message number if you'd like to join us at any point. Message come through. What is the website with the UK news on immigration? Oh no. Shall I tell them?
You've started
no.
it.
No. If you're ready. But be warned, you may take some time out of your day. So you might be warned to actually check out the website in your lunch break or after you've finished work. I think it's called them Mail Online.
Is that DailyMail.co.uk.
Oh, thanks very much.
Why I'm advertising them?
I don't know.
The last people who need it in the world, I don't know.
Yeah. But you know it as well, don't you, Mita?
Yes. Yeah.
We admit it. We do. We do read the stories. Anyway, there you go. But should we start with you, Melina? What's your first story?
So, Grigan. Basically, it's this really fun celebration that happens 15 days before Ramadan. And it's children dress up in their most elaborate kind of outfits, but they're traditional clothes. And then they go around the neighborhood knocking from door to door, and they have these specially made bags. And they collect old school, you know, sweets and nuts and things that, like, kind of traditional on the traditional side, but not necessarily traditional, but more like stuff that's you'd find in your local neighborhood, like little shop and stuff like that. And it's all about just like the spirit of giving. Like it's very much like Halloween, actually, minus the scary bits. It's just
children don't give; they receive.
They receive. Right. So it's exactly like Halloween. They go around, they sing a song, but they're dressed in, obviously, like I said, nothing
not scary.
Not scary, but really pretty traditional outfits.
Yeah.
And this is something that happens across the GCC and with slight differences. And they sing a song, and the song is like Girgan. And that word is derived from the word Qara, which means a knock. So it's all about, you know.
Did you ever used to do it?
I didn't, because I'm not, you know, I'm an expat. Yeah. And I don't think that many people know about it beyond the local community, which is such
a
shame.
So it's just an Emirati, or is it GCC?
It's Gulf. Yeah, and okay. They have different names and different, like here it's called Hajj al-Layla. And it's funny because I was in Satwa a couple of days ago and I actually overheard two ladies talking to one of the guys in the shop, and they were like, something like they're looking for clothes for Hajj al-Layla. Oh my god, I'm witnessing something, you know.
I wonder if anyone's let us know, are you doing it and you can do it all day, any time of the day?
I think they start at sunset. Okay. And it's just a really fun thing, and I mean obviously we're celebrating it, it's awesome. I mean, if you've driven past our store in the Village Mall, you'll see we've got like a whole window display. Yeah. And we've got these really cute pots which we've prepared with all of these like sweet treats and old school sweets and treats, and we're giving them away, and it's
lovely.
Fun. Yeah.
I think it's a lovely idea.
I've never heard of it. I mean,
I had
18 years, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, well, neither had I prior to this year, which was why we're like, this is so much fun. I can't believe we didn't know about it.
Is it one of those things that's sort of unfortunately dying out with globalization, with, you know, the changing, the growth of the country? And the,
I don't think
that
so.
We're
you
losing
know,
these traditions.
Because I started looking online, and actually I know that I think the whole Mudhish, like there was something that happened last year. Like people do things, but it's just, I don't think it's translated to the expat community, which is a shame. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very Arabic word as well. Girgaan.
It's quite hard to say,
You can say Girgaan.
I can say Gagan, one of our listeners said Gagan is what it's called in Kuwait.
Yeah.
And it's Hajj al-Layla, as you said, is what it is here.
Yeah.
And they also say it's from afternoon prayer to Maghrib prayer.
Right. Huh. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Are you celebrating? Let us know. Let us know if you know about this or if you're doing anything for it. I think it's lovely. I mean, even where I live for Halloween last year, there were sort of neighborhood children came around and they're all dressed up with, and I got a big bowl of sweets, and it was really nice. We were like, what should we give them? Should we give them money? I'm like, no, we're giving them money. Give them sweets. This is what you're supposed to do. But apparently the kids now are expecting money. And they went round to a few of the houses and they gave them like 100 dirhams each. And I'm like, oh gosh. Times
not
have changed
in
from my day, you know. It's like you get a couple of sweets or something like that.
But there was a story in last year's National on this event, and one little storekeeper in Ras Al Khaimah, he started selling 25,000 dirhams of sweets a day in the run-up to the event. So it's a huge amount of sweets that are being consumed.
Wow.
Yeah.
It says here, his store sold 25,000 worth of sweets each day in the week leading up to Hajj al-Layla.
Oh. And that was in Ras Al Khaimah.
Ras Al Khaimah. And one nut seller was taking 60,000 dirhams a day.
Gosh.
That's a lot of nuts and sweets.
It is. Well. But it's, I mean, obviously, maybe it's more popular in Ras Al Khaimah. I don't know if it's if it's celebrated here in Dubai as
well. Well, I know, Siobhan, to pick up on your point about whether or not there's an awareness, I do remember there were events in Mall of the Emirates and Dubai Mall last year.
Okay.
I mean, it is quite a small window when it actually takes place, but I do remember seeing this, which is when I first became aware as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's certainly a tradition, you know, which is being kept going.
Well, that's good. It's nice to know.
Somebody just texted in saying it's a celebration to remind everyone that Ramadan is 15 days away.
Yeah, it's about the spirit of giving, really. That's its essence, which is a beautiful thing. And also, the thing that you were saying about the UK, the test that people have to fill in for immigration. Maybe we need to do one for the UAE and put the Gargan Hagalela as one of the questions. Do you know what it is? No.
I wonder. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, what could be on the test if you were supposed to have? I mean, and obviously we don't have citizenship for expats here, but I think, and in light, I suppose, of the stories that have been in the press in the past few weeks about the dress code, which really took off from, interestingly, about two Emirati girls who were tweeting about it, and then it became this massive sort of media explosion, and now I think something more will be actually done about it. And there was actually a story in coming out of Abu Dhabi in The National, where apparently now they're going to give a little book or a booklet to people arriving in nationality to talk about the do's and don'ts, what you should and shouldn't do, what you should be wearing, a little bit of insight into Ramadan and, you know, again, the do's and don'ts during Ramadan, which I think is not, I think it's great.
First time this has been done. I mean, I saw that story as well today about the Abu Dhabi police booklet. I mean, that has existed for quite a while. And, you know, information is there if you want to find it. And actually reading the terms of those of that advice today, most of it is largely common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what on there that a reasonably well-read, interested person wouldn't know before coming here.
Well, you might say, you say that though, Robert, but I mean, you do go to the malls and you do see people
who are still pretty
in,
naked,
you know, sarongs and, you know, very, very skimpy clothes.
So, but in that case, is a booklet going to help somebody with such a complete disregard for the country they're travelling to? This is what
I don't know. It depends on where the booklet's available. Is it something that, I mean, it should start from the travel agent or from the whoever's looking after, wherever the book, you know, they book the flights, etc., with, to the hotel possibly, who could have a booklet in the room, various different languages.
But I agree with Robert though, it's about reconditioning the mindset. I mean, I'm not sure that little paragraph and a picture will kind of, you know, change the mindset that's driven to kind of, you know, wearing shorts, flip-flops and something kind of see-through up top.
Well, it means you've already walked past the signs on the way into the mall and not taken any notice of
them. Too late then, though, isn't it? Because you're already there and you've already got your lack of clothes on, let's say.
If it was you or me, you might think, oops, I ought to go home and get changed then, because I've been expressly asked not to do this. So I think that the people who want that information have it, and it's more information for people who already know quite how you get across to people who have no regard at all for the country they're travelling to.
Well, I suppose it's just greater awareness then. More talk about it, more awareness.
There's no harm in it, exactly. I mean, you could always, and like positioning and how it's done and, you know, where it's distributed and being given it before you even pack or get on a plane or, you know, even it could be something that's quite systematized, like built into the system of people coming here, moving here, you know. So it's like, here's a nice happy booklet.
Well, everybody knows, well, from certain countries that you have to get a visa to come here. So. Yeah. You know, it's sort of like, and it is a question that you probably would ask yourself. Now, I'm going on holiday to India. Yeah. Do I need a visa?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. Well, I do. A lot of nationalities do. So, you know, well, okay, I need to get. So along with that, then I will then also be given a booklet.
Exactly.
Okay, what do you do for the people who don't need visas then? Do you know what I mean? It could be, as you said, something systematized in that kind of way.
Maybe as soon as you enter the passport control, something that simple, like a checkpoint that everybody has to go through. You just get handed that book, and then at least nobody can say, I didn't know, because you've been handed it.
I think that is the point of this booklet, is that it will be at airports at the point of entry, but it depends on those people reading that information and taking
language,
it on board. Yeah, well, I mean it's in pretty much every language of the people coming here. But it's a case of those people reading it and taking it on board, and so much of the issues do seem to be focused simply around dress. Many of the other elements that were in there are not a major problem as far as I can see, as far as I'm aware, but the dress is a big issue. And it's that I mean, if you live and work in Dubai and you're now not aware that this is an issue, then where have you been? It means you're not reading or talking to anybody at all. So how do you reach people who even now have a complete disregard for the way they dress when they're in a public place?
Yeah, it's a good question.
But there's other mental things we hear happening in the UAE. I had a story a couple of weeks ago.
Can you hold that story? I'm sorry, Carlo, but we must go to the news headlines, but hold that thought. We'll come back. And perhaps we'll get some thoughts from you as well. What do you think can be done more? Is a booklet enough? Are there other ways and means that you feel that we can inform visitors or people coming to the country, or, of course, people that do live here already?